I thank you, Lord, for your presence that I already feel in this place. Lord, I pray that you are just here today, Jesus. I thank you. Like that.
Somebody shout hallelujah. Are you thankful today for the presence of God that you feel here? Glory, hallelujah. Turn around and give a high five to somebody. Tell them how good it is to see him in the house of the Lord. Praise God. You may be seated. So good to see each and every one of you here on this wonderful Sunday. We thank you that you came here to worship with us. You could have been anywhere else, but you made a conscious choice, a decision to come to Turning Point. We're thankful you're here today. One more time, clap your hands unto the Lord. A few announcements, and that is there is break-in ministries today right after service at Archbold High School. You don't want to miss that. If you're part of break-in, it's going to be a wonderful time. Also, this Tuesday at 11 o'clock at the church, we'll be having our 65 and older fellowship. If you have any questions, Sister Connie, raise your hand, please. Look at that. If you have any questions about that particular wonderful time, go ahead and see her. But that's going to be a great time for those 65 and older. This Friday, everybody say this Friday. This Friday, we're going to be showing The Chosen Season 4 here at the church. There'll be snacks being sold, and you can come about 6:30 to get your snacks. And Chosen starts at 7 p.m. So if you have nothing to do or you want a hot date, there's nothing like saying, hey, baby, let's go to church. Anyways, that's this Friday at 7 o'clock. Indiana Bible College will be coming next Sunday. Are you excited about that? It's going to be a blessing. It's going to be a wonderful time in the presence of the Lord. We're going to have to come with our getting our praise on. You may have to get here a little earlier, but there will be no 10 a.m. classes that day due to their time of trying to get things prepared and ready for that day. But you don't want to miss that time. It's going to be a wonderful time in the presence of God. Also, that just so happens to be our third Saturday prayer time. And Saturday, they'll be getting here to get set up. So typically, we have prayer at 7 p.m. On that particular Saturday, this coming Saturday, we're going to have the church doors open at 10 o'clock in the morning. That way, we could gather together and pray. I know that there's a lot of things that go on Saturday afternoons, but we do believe in the power of prayer. How many believe in the power of prayer? Man, let's all stand. I got a little lady up here getting her praise on already. Look at that. Praise the Lord. Micah, could you give me those two certificates on top of my Bible? We've had some wonderful things taking place around here at Turning Point, and we're grateful for all that God is doing and has already done. But it was last Sunday, Kaylin, we call her KK. Where are you at? I seen you running around here somewhere. She's in the back. Well, she was baptized in the name of Jesus last weekend, and we're grateful for that. Oh, there she is. Come on down. The price is right. You were born in the born again of water. We're believing you to be born of spirit soon. Baptized in the name of Jesus. One more time. Clap your hands. And then on Thursday night, there's a Bible study that happens every Thursday night, and we're excited about these young men and how God is just touching them and their great desire for the Word of God. And I want to call you Nahum, but everybody's telling me to call you Nam. Is that whatever? Nam was baptized in the name of Jesus this past Thursday night. We're excited, man, about what God is doing for you. Thank you for baptizing him in Jesus' name. Him and their friends, they've been gathering here for the past, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 weeks now. They're either receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost or being baptized in Jesus' name, and that's all very much biblical. One more time, shout amen. We're going to ask our ushers to come. It's another form of praise and worship. It is how we are able to offer the Lord of our first fruits, as Scripture calls it, and we want to certainly do that. Again, it's another form of praise and worship. Here in about a week, we're hoping, crossing our fingers, you're going to be able, these ladies, you wonderful women of Turning Point, you're going to get your own designated bathroom. I don't know how you feel about that. But that's so far sitting at about $4,700 that we've got invested so far into the project. And so every little bit counts. And so you may want to say, you know what, I want to get my praise on and thank the Lord for a bathroom. How many thankful for a bathroom? You live in Central America, you'll be real grateful. Amen. Let's pray right now. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your power and your presence that we feel in this very place. You are at work among us. We thank you, God, for miracles. In Jesus' name, I pray now, Lord, that you will bless both the gift and the giver. We give you the honor. We give you the praise. And everybody say, in Jesus' name, come and give as unto the Lord. Take about 30 seconds. Tell someone how happy you are to see him in the house of God. We're thankful you're here worshiping the Lord today. like right now, in this very place right now, there is a healer in the house. How many believe that right now? We're going to sing this song again, but how many believe that God can heal whatever you reveal? Whatever you present to God, God will take care of it. If you have a need, would you maybe step out from where you are? Ministry team, come on up here. We're going to pray. If you're willing, we're able to pray with you. If you need a touch from God, in the name of Jesus, yes. That's right, come on. If you want a touch from the Lord, a special prayer, today's your day. Today is your day. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, right now. Would you stretch your hand towards the front here and begin to pray? Hallelujah. Come on, somebody, let's clap our hands all across this place. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, let somebody shout hallelujah in the name of Jesus. Oh, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. There's nobody like you, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I believe in this place, God has always elected. He could be anywhere and everywhere at the same time. But I've also found that there are many moments where there's many moments where we can find that Jesus simply showed up and he was to a particular place and moved at a particular moment on purpose. And I feel here today that we are in that place where his purpose will be done and his kingdom has come. How many feel like that today? How many really feel like that today? There's nobody like Jesus. One more time, would you lift your hands and put a hand on someone's shoulder if it's appropriate? We're going to pray right now. Lord Jesus, your word is about to go forth. I thank you, God, for your word. It's seasoned, Lord, and I pray that it touches every place. I pray that, Lord God, your word will go forth and minister the grace to the hearers. And we need you today, Lord Jesus. We desperately, desperately need you. In Jesus' name, I pray right now. Thank you, Lord. Turn around and give a high five to somebody. Say, you're in church today. Now, we typically know him as a teacher, and whether he teaches, preaches, or whatever, but it is part of the fivefold ministry, and it is a gifting. And today, we could say he's an international teacher. He's taught overseas, and God has used him. And today, I think a month ago, was it, Brother Garrett? Probably then. I don't even remember now. It was a long time ago. It felt like a long time ago. But today you're going to be ministered to, and I believe it's a word meant for this very moment. God knows exactly where we are, and it's a word for this moment. Would you one more time clap your hands and receive Brother Gary?
Amen. Praise the Lord, church. Praise the Lord. Let's give a hand clap to the Lord. Let's take a minute. Let's worship the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, I love to hear that. I feel that sweet spirit near. Don't you? I know that the Lord is moving in this place. I feel him everywhere. I've been around here with all you and praying with you, and I feel it. Let's take a minute. Let's go to the Lord. Amen. That's right. Oh, Jesus, Lord, we feel your spirit here. Your mighty name, Lord, that grace, that mercy. In Jesus' mighty name, that salvation you poured onto us. In Jesus' name, Lord. Oh, we put your name on high. Hallelujah, Jesus. Our God is great and greatly to be praised. Amen? Yes, yes. Amen. That's right. Oh, that's good. Boy, I feel it here. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end, right? Oh, amen. I like this. I like hearing from you guys. It's good to see all of you. Amen, amen. All right. Glory to God and praise be to his name. All right. You may all be seated in Jesus' name. First, all right, glory to God. Yes, but I'd like to give thanks to our pastor, Pastor Clutter, amen, for giving me this opportunity. That lovely family, that wonderful man of God sitting right up here. All right, we might have got rid of that 2x4 up in the front row. We still got a stud up in the front row, don't we? Amen. Amen, amen. All right, and I'd like to thank every one of you, all right? Amen. It's so good to see you on a Sunday morning. So good to spend this time with you and with the Lord. Amen. Now, the place I'd like to start is in Isaiah, and we're going to be in chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30, all right? We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21, if we have that. Oh, that's fantastic. Thank you so much. All right. Now, here we have the prophet Isaiah, and he's talking to the children of Israel. And it's a very particular place in time. He's giving advice, and he's guiding them through the troubles of their day. He's addressing all of the issues that they have, and there's many, all right? These are not little things that they're dealing with. And in verse 21, Isaiah says, "All thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left." Or in other words, no matter which way you go, no matter which way you turn, your ears will always hear a voice giving advice, giving guidance, saying, this is the way, walk in it. Amen. Isaiah was comforting the people that had seen such adversity. They'd seen such problems, lack of water, disease, famine, persecution. This was not a good time for the children of Israel. He was there to give them wisdom. He was there to give them guidance, that their crops would return, the rains would return, and the land would be rich and plentiful again. Today, we understand these words of encouragement, and we cling to them. It gives us hope, right? We know what's coming. We know that we can trust in the Lord, that He can give us guidance and that wisdom to take us through our adversity. Amen? Amen. We know that we're going to have tests and trials, adversity. Some mountains simply seem too difficult to climb, though.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
So here's the thing. When you're in the middle of the valley, when there's bad things happening, you look up. It turns out if everywhere is above you, it looks like everything around you is a mountain.
Right.
And you can't climb it. Because
right.
When you're in the valley, everything's a mountain. And it's a struggle to get out of it. Thinking about mountains, you see this beautiful view over my shoulder here. Thank you, sister, for that. If I asked you to pick the tallest, toughest mountain to climb, all right, the one that would give you the most, like most reputation for being this tough mountaineer, this one that can climb up, that can make it up that mountain, the tallest on earth, the toughest, the hardest, the most extreme, all right? If I asked you, what mountain is that? What mountain would you say? Everest. This is good. It always makes me nervous when I ask a group of people a question like that. I'm afraid I'm going to get something weird back in response. That's awesome you said Everest. All right? You're not like Mount Corumbamba. I don't know what that is. All right? That's good. I like that. That's good. I like you guys being interactive here. All right? I'm a teacher by training, right? So I teach a little bit. I preach a little bit. Call it preaching. So what I'd like you to do, okay, is when during we're doing this, right? Nice and interaction. I like that. All right, I ask you guys questions and see what you think. All right, so you help me preach today?
Yeah.
Amen. I like to hear that. That's good. Because here's the thing. Normally, I do the 10 a.m. service where there's a hard cutoff. I might do this for 3 hours today. There's no cutoff. I stop when I stop. But he's like, oh, no. Oh, Lord, please. Mount Everest. Yeah, I did some research on Mount Everest. Turns out it is the tallest mountain on earth, and it reaches an elevation of 29,031.7 feet. Apparently, that wasn't that 0.7 makes it all that much more interesting, I guess, above sea level. It is a grueling task that only the bravest, the strongest, and most strong-willed climbers can actually make it up, let alone make it to the base camp.
Right.
It's crazy. Now, are you ready to hear how intense this is? Because I know when I heard, like, it's a mountain, oh, okay, that's fine. Whatever. I'm going to climb up some rock and I'm going to be just fine.
Right.
As you go higher and higher up the mountain, there are real dangers. They present themselves immediately. Real dangers to even the most experienced climber. Today, I'll be honest, I checked the weather before I came up here, and guess what temperature it is up on Everest? It is -3 degrees right now. I'll tell you what, that's a balmy summer day in Everest. That's nice, all right? That's the high for today, in case you were wondering. The record low is actually -76. Yeah, I'm starting to use numbers that are making the brothers and sisters from the southern states, they're getting a little nervous. They shudder a little bit. I say negative 76, and you know, family from Louisiana, family that likes the Carolinas, they're like, oh, no, don't you, oh, Lord, touch us. All right? I'm not going to make it through that. So it's bad. As you go higher and higher. Now, here's the thing. You're thinking, why? It wouldn't be so bad if I'm climbing in the warmest of times. But then you've got avalanches. The snow moves. Last avalanche buried nearly 100 people that couldn't get out. So even in the nicest of times, it's dangerous. And temperature aside, the humidity turns out is quite high. Combined with the cold temperatures, that causes ice to grow on every bit of exposed skin. You ever see those people with like icicles on their eyebrows and like eyelashes? All right? Like every bit of skin is just like, what is the kids like blinged up? Is this what the kids say? Or am I too old? I'm already too old. All right, that's a shame, guys. That is a shame. Some of y'all shaking your head like you're too old. Well, that's all right. Now they burn every little bit of skin they grow on. The exhaustion causes climbers to simply not want to move. You just want to stay where you are. As you go higher, there's less and less atmosphere. There's no oxygen. So you suffer from something called hypoxia. Your fingers, your toes, your lips, they start turning blue. Right? Because of that, there's not enough oxygen. On top of the exhaustion, you even start to hallucinate. You see things. You experience things that aren't there. They aren't real. Your body even starts to fool itself. Your body thinks it's warm when it's not. We find climbers all the time found in their tents with their clothes folded neatly next to them because they thought it was warm, and it was not. It's a trick. It's a dangerous trick. This is one of the most extreme places on the planet. This is an altitude that passenger planes fly at. You're eye to eye with 747s. You climbed up that way. Now, let's say you do make it. You make it to the summit, the very top of the peak, right? Once up there, once at the summit, you've conquered what seems like the impossible. You can look around and you've done something that not very many people can. What many have failed. Climbing this mountain is no small task. Once at the very top of the summit, you get to stand with your flag, right? You like plant the flag and you're standing there. You get that real toothy grin, right? Like back there on Easter Sunday when you tell your kids, like, smile, and they're all like doing this. Yeah, I feel it. My kids do that too. Every family picture, they're either got this weird, like, angry look or they're just like, you see nothing but teeth. And you're like, what is wrong with these kids? I love them, but what's wrong with them? But you get to have that picture. You get to stand nice and tall on top of that mountain. That thing you accomplished. Right? Just standing there all alone like, look what I have done. Isn't this incredible? Now, when I look at these pictures of these proud mountaineers standing there with the flag over their toothy grin. Right? Standing all like they just accomplished this great big feat. I always have to ask myself one question. You know what that question is? I ask, who took that picture? Yeah. I was standing there, nobody around him. Who's holding that camera? Who's actually flipping that switch? Now, here's the reality of the situation, okay? The reality is even though you might make it up that mountain, the climbers don't go alone. There are guides that take them from the base camp all the way up. They don't do it alone. They can't do it alone. They have to trust in somebody that knows the way. Amen? Now, the native guides that live there, they're called Sherpas. As you see, the ministry of the Sherpa, right? These are people that have been up and down 1,000 times. They know the way. They've done it before. While you're taking your cheesy picture for your slideshow for your friends, and they're like, why am I watching this slideshow? All right? What they're not seeing is the guy who took you to the top. They actually know the way. They were the first to climb Everest, and they know the right season, the right temperature, the right weather, the path to take, the safe way back down. It is the Sherpas that guide the climbers up, telling them where to stay which path to take when storms are coming. And I'll be honest, the most important one, how to get off of that peak. All right? Now, today my message is titled, The Ministry of the Sherpa. This morning, if you look around, you may not be climbing Everest right now. I don't know if you noticed, but Ohio is not exactly the most altitude, like, inclined place around. Right. I go to work in Paulding. You can step on a step stool and see the whole county, guys. There's not a hill around. Now, what mountain is this madman talking about? I think he's hallucinating. He must be off of the sea level too much. But I guarantee you, every single one of you, you got a mountain. You got a mountain in this room, right? When you look around and you see some hill you can't get up, some place that you can't get up on your own, that's what I'm talking about. Right. Something you're trying to tackle, a mountain in your life that is dangerous and seems too big to handle on your own. So what is your mountain? Look at your neighbor. Tell him you have a mountain. You have a mountain. Now, I want you to really think about it, all right? Really dig deep. And sometimes you don't have to dig that deep to figure out what it is, all right? It's that thing that when I say, what is your mountain? It's that place you just went to in your mind where you're staring off a little bit, like you look like you're having, like, flashbacks. Like, it's that thing you can't get out of your head. It's that thing that you're like, man, I think about that all the time. It's the thing I struggle with every second of my life. I lay down in bed at night, and I try to close my eyes, and it's what I see. It's what I think of. When I wake up in the morning, it's the first thing on my mind. It's that thing that's bothering. It's that thing that's gnawing at me, right? Just keeps going after me, and I can't let it go. No matter how hard I try, it's there. When you're in that valley and you look up at that mountain, it's impossible. You see that mountain, that thing that you're trying to scale, and you think, man, I can't do this. Jesus, help us all. Right. Now, here's the thing. You don't have to tell anybody in here what your mountain is. All right, this is not the point where we go around and confess each to every other your faults, okay? You can keep this to yourself, right? You can keep it between you and Jesus. That's okay. But I want you to be focused on that mountain nonetheless. Now, that problem is so big you can't even approach it. You can't even make it to base camp. You don't even have the supplies to make it up halfway, let alone to conquer that peak and be a victor. Right? So I tell you, you aren't the first one to feel this way. Right? Here's the thing. An important point of this is you aren't alone. When you look around, every single person here has a mountain. Each and every one of you are trying to scale this thing, and you don't know how. Right. Amen? That thing that keeps you awake. Everybody's got one. Yeah. All right? For as long as there have been people, there have been problems. Right. Just realistically. Now, Solomon, writing in Ecclesiastes, and we're in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 9. Solomon was considered the wisest man in history. So what does he have to say about this? Solomon, he would see people every day. They'd come and they'd visit him and they'd ask advice. They'd come with problems and he would give them advice on how to solve these issues, legal, civil, whatever. And Solomon says in verse 9, the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. People came to him for guidance in their problems. And what does he really have to say? He says, I've seen this all before. Right? The faces have changed. The details have changed. But I've seen this before. People coming in with their problems and history repeats itself. Just different faces. Now, it is important to note that Solomon did not write this, and I don't speak it now to belittle what you're going through. All right? The things that you are experiencing are very real. Okay? The problems that you have are very real. I'm not diminishing that. But I say this to prove a point. You aren't the only one. It isn't just you. That problem in your life, that mountain that you're looking to scale, turns out God's already scaled that mountain. He's been up and down already. He knows the way. The Lord has already fixed it. He's taken people up and out of that valley and up that mountain, right? I don't know what your problem is, but I know he can take you up that too. Okay, he's done it before. He'll do it again. Now, we can look at all these people through history, and we know we've seen it before. John the Baptist, turns out he was homeless. Naaman, he was chronically sick, right? Naaman was the sickest of the sick. Noah, second, he had a chance. He's over there abusing alcohol. Moses was a murderer. Jacob was a liar and a cheat. Saul struggled with depression. David, an adulterer. Samson stayed in bad relationships. Peter had a terrible temper. Samson, again, bad relationships. And Paul, falsely accused and imprisoned. Jesus said in chapter 16 of John, in verse 33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation." You're going to have problems, folks. Okay? Jesus didn't say life's going to be just peachy and everything's going to be just fine. All right? But the end of that is be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have overcome that mountain. I have overcome all your problems. Let's praise the Lord. Let's give it to the Lord. Amen. Jesus' name, Lord. He's taking us out of that valley, Lord Jesus. He's taking us right up to that mountain, right up to the peak, right in the summit. In Jesus' name, Lord, we can feel his presence here today. He's taken so many others. He's solved so many problems, and we know he can do it again. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we can't just run from our problems, right? I've seen so many people try this. I had a student. She's maybe 15 or 16. She got messed up in a bad group, right? Drugs, violence, all these things. And she says, me and my family are moving to a new school, and things are going to get better. All right, she moves to a new school. And you know what happened there? The very same thing that she was experiencing where she was. Why? Because nothing changed. She picked herself up into a new situation that was the same as before. She sought out the same people, the same problems, and she suffered the same consequences. If we want things to get better, things have to change. Amen? Things have to change. And we can't change on our own. We have a God that's already overcome. He's been up that mountain. He's in this room today. But we can't do it on our own. Amen? I don't know what you're facing today, tomorrow, whenever, but I know you're going to overcome it. And if you want to conquer that mountain, one thing is for sure. I say this again, I say this very assuredly. You cannot do it alone. In 2006, David Sharp. Everybody say David Sharp. Amen. Everybody's like, who is that? It's not in the Bible. That's a different David. In 2006, David Sharp had a background in rock climbing. He's an experienced mountaineer. He had a degree from university in mechanical engineering. If there was one guy you were going to bet on to make it up top that mountain, it was David Sharp. All right, he's your man. I'll bet he can scale that thing. So, he tries it. He made the decision to climb Everest, but here's the problem. He didn't use a guide. He tried it solo. I'm going to climb that mountain myself. When they saw him at base camp, he was excited. He's ready to go. He's positive. Everything's going to be great. I'm going to make it up this mountain. I'm going to take a selfie or something. Nobody's there to hit the button for me. Thing is, when he left base camp, the guides, the Sherpas, they noticed that he didn't have enough oxygen to make it up. He should have had 8 tanks. He had 2. He didn't have enough food. He didn't have enough rations to make it up, let alone make it back down. He didn't know the way. He was trying to do it himself. Others would walk by David where they saw him struggle, and at that point, they couldn't help him because they would perish too. And David there, he would sit where he actually remains to this day, about halfway up the top of that mountain. If you don't have the right guide, whatever your mountain is, If you try and do that alone, that mountain will consume you. Amen. You cannot climb it, let alone escape it by yourself. The Sherpa climbs with the mountaineer. That Sherpa knows the path to take. When you stick the claws that are in your feet into the mountain, you want to make sure that it's in rock, not in snow.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You got to make sure that you got a firm step on that foundation.
Right.
Or else you're going down, or you're never going down.
Right.
Now, there's a reason we say he's the God of the mountain, the God of the valley. I'll tell you right here that no matter where you are, he's there.
He's there.
Mm-hmm. His presence is there. It will follow you wherever you go.
Right.
Doesn't matter if you're at that base camp, if you're at the summit. If you're in a valley, he's there.
Right.
The Spirit will follow you wherever you go. We just felt it this morning up here. Amen. How many of you guys feel the Lord in your everyday? Amen. Jesus' name, Lord. I'll tell you what, you turn to him. Every single issue you got, when you're praising, when you're happy, when you're sad, whatever, you turn to the Lord because he's there. Amen. He will never abandon you. The Spirit is not some roller coaster where on your best day he's there and on your worst he's not. He's going to be with you always. It's not like when you go to the ocean, you see the waves come in and back out. That's not how he works. He doesn't ebb and flow. He's not there 1 minute and gone the next. He's always there. Your life might have the roller coaster. You might have the ups and downs, but he's there with you. All right? He's riding that roller coaster with you, and he knows what's going to be on the other side of that drop. Moses writes in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6. He's telling the children of Israel here, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he, it is that that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Keep in mind where the Israelites were at this point. They're getting ready. They're hoping to cross into the promised land. All right? They just escaped the Egyptians. All right? The Egyptians are basically trying to exterminate them, trap them, corner them. They get away. They're wandering the desert. There's no food. There's no water except what the Lord has provided. And they're getting awfully tired of tasting manna. Now they look on the other side of this water, and what do they see? But kingdoms that are already there, strong kingdoms. And those kingdoms are not welcoming. They want to exterminate the children of Israel. And Moses here is saying to these Israelites, you know, I know that what looks ahead of you is big and terrible, but I got to tell you, there's something bigger behind you. There's something bigger that's pushing you. There's something bigger that's more powerful, that's stronger, that knows which way this is going to go. Our lives might be a mess, but always there with us through it all is our Savior. He is there with you every step of the way now. His presence is guiding you through everything. Even if you can't feel it, even if you can't see it, he's there.
Right.
He is there.
Right.
It's in that presence that we find true joy that we cannot find anywhere else. We see this, the psalmist says in Psalm chapter 16 and verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures evermore. David's running from the government. He's running from the army right now. He's living in caves. Life is a mess. And he's turning to the Lord. He's saying, man, I'm finding joy in the Lord, even though. Amen? So even when your life is a mess, even when you're running like David, and you don't know if tomorrow's coming, you can still find that in the presence of the Lord. Amen? And the hope that we have in that is substantial because we know we have a God that will never leave us. So we have joy always. He's there with us every second of our day. We just need only turn to him. He will guide us up and out of our troubles and to safety. He is who that will overcome that hurdle that we can't process on our own.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now I got some news for you. I'm not here to talk about your problems. All right? Okay? Because if I just come up here and I talk about how bad everything is, you're like, well, everybody else is going to tell me how bad everything is. Why do I need to go to church? All right, my goodness.
Right.
Every day I go to work and I'm like, oh, this is terrible. When I show up on Sunday, well, this is terrible too. No, it's not about your problems. All right? God has something bigger in mind for you.
Yes.
All right? Yeah, he'll fix your problems, but he's got something else to give you. Right? He's going to give you peace. He's going to give you comfort, joy, guidance, wisdom, all of it. He's going to take you to a place that you will suffer no more. There is no sadness. There is no crying. There is nothing ever wrong that you will never see a problem again. In that place, we will feel joy forevermore. It is beyond our problems. It's above what we know here. It is totally holy and different. Amen. God's going to take you there. He's going to take you up and out of that. He's going to take you away from those problems that you never feel, that you never think about again. Now, God, the one thing that can take you through, he's above all that. But here's the thing. God also has his eyes set on a pretty big prize, right? Now, he hung out with a lot of fishermen, right? I like to pretend that I'm a fisherman. I'm a bad fisherman, Brother Brent. It's not great. It's not good, all right? Used to have a friend that I'd go fishing with all the time, right? And we're going out to this little part of the river there out in Waterville, all right? Just him and I. And I come with my little rod and reel, and I'm looking to catch some, like, crappie or bass so I can take a picture with my little, like, 4-inch bass and be like, look at me, all right? Now, he comes out. He gets out of the truck, and he's got with him, this thing looks like a pole you're going to catch a shark with. Like, what are you catching tarpon? What do you got a marlin on that thing? What are you doing? Thing was huge. The line had to be 50, 75-pound test. I think, what are you doing here? What do you think you're going to catch? He looks at me. He says, if I'm not going to catch a fish, I'm not going to catch a big fish. All right? He had his eyes on the big prize. He had his eyes above what I could see. And here's the thing. He didn't think he could do it alone. I go off in my little part of the river like, oh, I'm going to get a bass. All right? He used a guy that had done this before. Yeah. He had a guide. At the end of this fishing trip, we come together to see what we had caught. And here I am with my little bass. Like, look at this little bass. All right? Maybe if I hold it close to the, I'm like taking a picture like this. Yeah. All right? We'll Photoshop that later. He comes up with the biggest catfish ever seen in my life. Thing was big as me. I thought, how are these things living in these waters? He had a guide. He had someone that knew something he didn't. And also, he had his eyes set on something beyond what he could see. What was in his immediate future. He planned for greatness. And that's what we need to do. We need to plan for greatness too. Each and every one of you out there. We need to go catch a big fish. When God takes you up that mountain, because here's the thing, I'm not talking about your problems. You might be in the valley right now, and we're going to say, yeah, you're going to make it up that mountain. What are you going to do when you're on that peak? Are you going to be like a dog that's been chasing a car, and now you're behind the wheel, and you're thinking, what do I do now? All right? Because here's the thing, if God makes that promise that you're going to make it to that summit, what are you going to do when you get there? Mm-hmm. When God takes you up that mountain and you've conquered whatever is in your life, when he works in your life tomorrow or the next day or the day after, whatever is in your future, when he works, whenever he chases those problems away and they flee in his mighty name, you remember who it was that did that. Amen? Because here's the thing, when you get to that summit, You can be like that guy that's standing there with your flag and you're standing at the peak and it's planted and you're smiling with that cheesy, toothy grin again. Right? Look what I did. Who are you going to allow in that picture with you? You just going to let him click that camera and say, look what I did? Or are you going to invite him into the picture to show everybody who made you up to the top of that mountain? Who took you out? Amen? You keep in mind who it was that brought you out of that valley, who took you up that mountain, who got you to the peak, who took you to victory, that you could feel that peace, that comfort, that joy, all those things in Jesus' name. You invite him in. Because I'll tell you what, the Lord is a gentleman. He's going to let you do your own thing. If you so choose to keep him out of the frame of that picture, you can do that. All right? I want to make clear that that has consequences. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. You need to tell everybody what God did for you. And some of those consequences we actually see in Matthew. All right, and this is where it gets, this is where for saved people, we look at this and it gets a little bit scarier to us, right? When Jesus starts talking about, like, don't do this, our ears kind of perk up a little bit, right? We see this in Matthew chapter 12, verses 31 and 32. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. Well, that sounds good. I like that, all right? I like that. I like that start. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither the next. This is not verses that we like to talk about, right? Because we don't like consequences, right? So many of my generation, we got like the gentle parenting, right, thing going on where the kids are over there just doing something crazy. We're like, please stop. We don't like those consequences, okay? But they're there. They're real. This warning is not for unsaved people, it turns out. Jesus wasn't talking to a bunch of people out in the street that never heard of him. He's talking to people that are saved. They're already following Jesus. He's talking to the saved. You have to believe in the Holy Ghost. You have to receive the Holy Ghost to reject it. That's what he's talking about here, is rejecting his word. When the Lord does it, when you believe in the Lord, give it to God. And remember who took you to the peak. Don't forget about the Lord. Don't reject the Lord. The Holy Ghost didn't do that. That was me. That was all me. I took it to the top. That's what Jesus is talking about right there. So the next time you're on top of that mountain, give credit where credit is due. That climber couldn't have done it without the guide. And our guide is the same way. He will take us up the mountain. And if we so choose, we can pretend it was just us the whole time. God will guide us through whatever life throws our way. We just have to listen. We just have to follow that voice. Yes. And he will take us up. Just make sure that when you're on top of that mountain, you let everybody know who took you there. Mm-hmm. Let everybody know who the guide was that allowed you to be victorious. So amen. And here's the thing. I know God has done great things in all your lives. All right, we could go around this room and spend the next 5 hours talking about the stuff that God has done for you. Right. I tell you, I can spend the next 3 hours just talking about the stuff God has done for me. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing, we should be able to do that. Amen. I know God is going to keep doing great things. Our job now is to tell everybody about it. Right. Amen. And I don't care where you are. If you are in Paulding, if you are in Defiance, if you're in Montpelier, if you're in Stryker, Eden, Edgerton, Archibald, Bryan, wherever you are, you turn to the Lord. Tell everybody that you talk to. Tell what he has done for you in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, Jesus' name, Lord. Everybody you come across, look what the Lord has done for me. We're going to have preachers and teachers and prophets and all fivefold and everywhere around this place. You tell everybody what the Lord did for you. Whatever the world is coming at you with today, God's going to solve it. He's going to be that Sherpa that takes you up, amen? Yes. Just turn to him, and once he gets you over that hill, oh, that's time to praise him. That's time to worship him. Has God ever done anything in your life?
Yes.
Right? You look around, all right? Now it's time to give him the glory in Jesus' name. Here in just a minute, this altar is going to open up. And what I want you to do today, if you got a problem in your life, if you got a mountain in your life, you come to the Lord,
yes.
Right? You ask him to take you out of it because
right.
He can do it,
right?
If you have reached that peak, if you've reached that summit, if you've seen that problem flee, that problem go away, what I want you to do is come up here. I want you to focus on that. And I want you to reach for the Lord and say, thank you, Lord.
Yes.
You focused on that thing he's taking out. So let's stand up today and let's really reach out to the Lord. Let's tell him thank you. Let's worship him. Let's praise him in Jesus' mighty name. Oh, Jesus, this altar is open that you can come up and worship the Lord, Lord Jesus. If you got a problem in your life, come on up. Give it to the Lord. Give it to Jesus. Give it to that guide that knows the way out. If you feel comfortable, come up to the front. You can grab the hand of the person next to you if it's appropriate. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, that we know the solution is Jesus. He knows the way out. What is your problem? He knows the way out. What problem is He taking you out of? Thank Him for that. The fact that you're here today is evidence of that. In Jesus' name, Lord, God's taking you up that mountain. Let Him take you up again. Keep moving up that mountain. Trust in that guide. Trust in that Sherpa. Tell Him your problems. Tell Him that mountain you're trying to get up. Oh, in Jesus' name, Lord, pray for each other, Lord, that I feel the presence of the Spirit here, Lord, today.